political cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host for tonight, James Edwards.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome, everyone, to the Political Cesspool. 'Twas the Saturday night before Christmas, and here we are once again on AM 1380 WLRM Radio, our flagship station here in Memphis, Tennessee, and streaming live via the Internet at republicbroadcasting.org and thepoliticalcesspool.org, and, of course, going out via satellite to our affiliate stations across the country. Welcome to the show. I'm your host, James Edwards, joined tonight by my good friend and co-host, Bill Rowland. Bill, how are you doing?
James, I'm doing great. I've got on my Christmas sweater and my Santa hat, and I'm ready for the show.
As I can see. So it's great to have you in tonight. I know you were out with us last week, and it's just never quite the same doing it by myself. So good to have you back in studio tonight, and exciting times. The week before Christmas is always exciting, so we hope that we can live up to all the excitement that people are feeling at this special time of year by delivering to them another powerhouse program tonight, as they've come to expect. I think we will. We've got a great guest coming up here in the first hour. And then, Bill, as you know, during the second and third hour, we're going to be turning over the show to the callers themselves. Our Christmas present to our very loyal listening audience is to make them as much of the part of the show tonight as we can. We've got a lot of great topics we're going to be talking about in the second and third hour this evening, and we want to hear their thoughts on those topics, not the least of which being a very, very important article, an expose, if you will, that appeared in the Baltimore Sun just a couple of weeks ago. And, Bill, I know we don't have much time before our first break, but to give folks a little primer about what that article was all about.
Well, that article was a very important piece in a major Beltway newspaper, the Baltimore Sun, of course, like the Washington Post, and I would guess the Boston Globe is a major newspaper along the East Coast. And they actually had an article that exposes the Southern Poverty and Law Center as basically a giant fundraising organization that is primarily in operation to enrich Morris Dees and the people at the Southern Poverty and Law Center. The first time a major newspaper has come out with such a hard-hitting expose, and I am looking forward to the fallout from that, and I think there could be no better Christmas present for Morris Dees and his gangsters than this this article, which really exposes them as a group which has been solely in operation to raise money and to frighten their donors into believing that there is a giant right-wing conspiracy against the American people.
Bill, you mentioned when we were having dinner earlier this week in preparation for tonight's live broadcast that the article was so strongly worded that you or I could have written it, and you're exactly right. So that's going to be one of several stories we're going to be bringing to your attention tonight over the course of the program, and I'm very excited, well, about the whole show, but about the third hour in particular, because not only are we going to be talking about the culture war against Christmas one more time before the big day on December 25th, we're actually going to wrap up tonight's show by reading from the Bible itself, the biblical accounting of the Christmas story. So we hope you'll enjoy that. That's coming up tonight before we sign off. All that and more coming up on the Political Cesspool radio program tonight with James Edwards and Bill Rowland here live on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We will be back to get down to business right after these words from our sponsors.
Don't go away. There's plenty more of the Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages. At the time of death, loved ones are forced to make many important and difficult decisions. Planning together allows families to avoid difficult decisions in the future and gives you peace of mind now. Autumn Woods Memorial Park is a new perpetual care cemetery located 1 mile south of Goodman Road in Olive Branch, Mississippi. Autumn Woods is the largest cemetery in DeSoto County and serves the entire DeSoto County, Memphis metropolitan area. Autumn Woods Memorial Park allows for a dignified and peaceful final resting place. Autumn Woods Memorial Park is locally owned and operated. The staff is committed to providing the best possible service at the most affordable price. Autumn Woods Memorial Park now has side-by-side lots starting at $600. Come by and visit our beautiful property, conveniently located at 6240 Davison Road in Olive Branch, Mississippi, or call us at 901-521-9520. You can also find us online at www.autumnwoodsmemorialpark.com.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Can't decide what to give your friends and family this Christmas? Why not give them the most unique gift available by helping them protect their credit card numbers and personal information from thieves? There are now millions of credit cards, debit cards, and passports in circulation that contain an RFID chip. These new cards and passports make transactions a breeze, but introduce a new threat to your personal information. These cards can be read while still in your wallet or purse. So, this Christmas, give your friends and family a pack of secure sleeves from Identity Stronghold. Our radio blocking secure sleeves block the signals needed to read the RFID chip inside their new credit cards and passports, keeping their personal data safe and secure. You can buy them on the web at www.idstronghold.com. That's www.idstronghold.com. Or call toll-free 800-610-2770. 800-610-2770. Order now and get them in time for Christmas. Go to idstronghold.com today.
Welcome back to the Political Cesspool. To get on the show, call toll-free at 1-800-313-9443. And now here's your host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the show. You know, things change fast here in the Political Cesspool. We're actually going to joggle the lineup a little bit from what we mentioned just a moment ago. I actually, Bill, if it's okay with you, want to go right into that SBLC story because it is, you know, we trumped it up so much. I don't want to wait to get into it because it is exciting, and I want to just set the tone for the program tonight with the big news itself. But before I do that, I want to make mention of another story that I read, and this story is a little more typical of the kind of substance, if you can call it that, that you're going to get out of the major newspapers. The article's headline, and we blogged about this at our own website at thepoliticalcesspool.org, but the title of the story was that lesbian youth were at a high risk for pregnancy, and the article went on to opine that lesbian and bisexual youth are up to 7 times more likely to get pregnant than their heterosexual peers, so says a study of British Columbia students. You got anything to say about that, Bill? I mean, is that news?
Well, I think it points to, if that story is in fact true, I mean, if the statistics do point to that, I think what that shows is the, demonstrates the promiscuity that is rampant among homosexuals, both the male and female, the lesbians as well as male homosexuals, which we, you know, I mean, the studies have been pointing to higher disease rates, sexually transmitted diseases among homosexuals for years and years and years, as well as higher incidence of suicide, higher incidence of drug addiction, higher incidence of general mental illness. So I don't think it's surprising we should see that they also have higher rates of pregnancy, even though they're, you would think that they wouldn't be interested in anyone in the opposite sex. So I think it just basically points to the total moral depravity among homosexuals, lesbians, male homosexuals, whichever. And so it doesn't surprise me really that this statistic should come out, that in fact that they would have a higher rate of pregnancy or unmarried unwed pregnancies and teen pregnancies than normal heterosexual young people.
Well, nevertheless, this is what passes for journalism these days, and it's just one of the many reasons why major newspapers all over the country are failing and going out of business. You and I, Bill, have both celebrated that demise, and in fact, we did a story on it last week here on this show, certainly a cause for celebration. But, however, in all fairness, once in a blue moon, a major newspaper will get something right, and that brings us back full circle to what we were talking about a moment ago, and boy, did the Baltimore Sun ever hit the nail on the head back on December 3rd. As you mentioned in the first segment, Bill, this is a new expose. In fact, the only one of its kind. I know the Montgomery Advertiser did a truthful accounting of what goes on at the SPLC back some years ago. But as you mentioned, this isn't one of the top 10 newspapers in the country. The Baltimore Sun is. And the article was so good, I'm going to read it almost in its entirety. And then, Bill, turn it back over to you. Full comments. The truth about hate crimes and the racial justice racket. That's the headline that appeared in Baltimore Sun December 3rd of this year. The Southern Poverty Law Center is a thriving business. The Alabama-based nonprofit, quote-unquote, firm has become a font of riches for founder Morris Dees and his associates. Its last tax return back in 2005 showed it took in nearly $111 million in donations the previous 4 years alone, and reported assets of $189.4 million at the end of fiscal year 2005. Its business is fundraising, and its success at raking in the cash is based on its ability to sell gullible people on the idea that present-day America is awash in white racism and anti-Semitism, which it will fight tooth and nail as the public interest law firm it purports to be. That might lead a skeptic to wonder why it spends so little on litigation and why Morris Dees pockets a lot of the money sent in by panic donors who buy into the smear campaigns against organizations or prominent individuals, such as ourselves, who question racial preference programs. The author, Ron Smith, of this article goes on to write, "To me and other observant conservatives, the Southern Poverty Law Center is a clever scam, relentlessly cultivating for profit the fear that this nation is filled with Klansmen and rife with people eager to perpetrate genocide. If you're curious about this organization and its legitimacy, spend some time on the Internet and assess it for yourself, because I want to move on to something else related to the comment by Mark Potok. He mentions cross burnings on the lawns of interracial couples. If this is true, shame on those who do such things, but what you probably don't know about and what the center routinely ignores is the atrocity committed on an interracial couple in Winchester, California. Marine Sergeant Jan Powell Pidzrak, a Polish immigrant, and his African-American bride of 2 months. Apparently there was some sort of a crime committed against them, Bill. Some other blacks were accused of breaking into the home and killing them both. One is also charged with a sex crime. The point of this being, in the weeks since the brutal murders, the article continues, the media have been largely silent about the grisly incident. Would that be the case had the alleged perpetrators been white? Don't be silly. The article concludes by saying this: hate crimes, as trumpeted by the likes of the Southern Poverty Law Center, are a questionable legal construct used almost exclusively against whites. Hateful or not, interracial violent crime is overwhelmingly black on white or black on Asian. The Department of Justice's figures show that between 2001 and 2003, blacks were 39 times more likely to commit violent crimes against whites than the reverse.
of the nearly 770,000 violent interracial crimes committed every year involving blacks and whites, blacks commit 85% of them. But you won't hear about that from the SPLC or see it on the evening newscast, because the truth is one thing and the liberal agenda is another. And that was the story that appeared in the Baltimore Sun. Bill, take it away.
What makes the Southern Poverty and Law Center evil is their attacks on us, James. That's what their real, that's the basis of their real evil, is attacking legitimate, hardworking organizations that very often advocate the rights and the welfare and the well-being of white people. So what? You know, that's what we do. We get on this show. We're not ashamed to say that we're pro European American. So what? Yet the Southern Poverty and Law Center, of course, has written smear pieces about you and the political cesspool and people we know, all of which have been completely false. Now, of course, the significance of this article is that it did appear in a major newspaper. The Baltimore Sun is a very, very big newspaper as far as newspapers go now, because it's a dying industry. But this is the first time that a paper of this caliber has attacked them. And, of course, the problem with the Southern Poverty and Law Center for us is that they are a cited reference by almost all the newspapers in the country and the news media, the broadcast media.
Whenever, as we know all too well.
As we know all too well, that the, that this that when the media needs a reference and some quote against us or some other organization that is to the right of Nikolai Lenin or Joseph Stalin, then they often reference the Southern Poverty and Law Center. And this draws the draws questions and doubts about the credibility of the Southern Poverty and Law Center, the fact that, that a, such a strong condemnation has been written in such a major newspaper. And so this, I think, may, it very well may, make major newspapers and other media outlets, broadcast outlets, wary of using the Southern Poverty and Law Center quotes against certain groups that otherwise are doing good work.
And
so, you know, this
no,
is, I think, but,
been,
you know what, James, you know what we ought to do? Let's invite Mark Potok and Heidi Byrick on the show to defend themselves against this attack by the Baltimore Sun. I think we
give
should
them
invite them.
Give them the opportunity that they never afforded to us.
Right. We're going to invite both Marky Potok and Heidi Byrick on the show, even though their anti-Christian, pro-homosexual organization has attacked us over and over and over again. Let's invite them on the show to defend themselves against these allegations by this big bully and obviously this hate-mongering, right-wing, fanatical group at the Baltimore Sun. I mean, obviously this is a hate group now.
You know, it's an interesting, Bill. I routinely go to the Southern Poverty Law Center's blog to keep tabs on what our friends are doing, because they're so diligent in reporting on the activities of any conservative organization, such as this program. But, you know, I couldn't find any mention of this on their blog. I couldn't imagine why.
Well, why? They're being attacked by this big hate group out in Maryland. I don't understand why they would not take up the challenge and be the great crusading organization against bigotry and hate. You know, then they should take up this challenge against such a dangerous group as the Baltimore Sun. I don't understand why they're shying away from this hate group, because obviously anybody that attacks the Southern Poverty Law Center must be a bigot hate group. What else could
they
be?
Of course. Well, all that being said, it is very exciting because folks ought not be using them as a reference. The facts speak for themselves. It's a very shady organization.
Well, the Baltimore Sun.
Unfortunately, you know, it takes organizations like the Baltimore Sun. People just don't believe things unless they read it in newspapers like that. Now, that's one of the things we're working to make amends to. You know, we're trying to change public perception. You don't have to see something on mainstream television or in the newspapers for it to be believable. Unfortunately, this is the kind of mindset that a lot of folks have. So, just because that's the case, it's good that the Baltimore Sun wrote this article. But listen, we got to go to break, Bill. We're going to pick this up, and then we're going to go to our first guest. Right after this, we're going to take a couple of calls, too. The political cesspool continues in a moment.
Don't go away. There's plenty more of the political cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Hi, this is Tommy John. I may not be pitching for the major leagues anymore, but that doesn't mean I don't like to stay active. But like you, I get those pesky joint pains that come with age. So I take GoFlex. GoFlex is the 1-2 punch to knock out pain. It has an FDA-approved cream to quickly relieve joint pain and a doctor-approved vitamin that will guard your mobility and flexibility. So if you're suffering from pains associated with arthritis or the aches that come with age, GoFlex will help you. I know firsthand what pain is like. Years ago, they did a surgery on my arm so famous that they named it after me, the Tommy John surgery. Today, I don't let joint pain slow me down, and neither should you. If you're suffering from minor aches and pains, even the kind associated with arthritis, try GoFlex, risk-free. Thanks to GoFlex, even at my age, I can still throw batting practice.
To order GoFlex risk-free, dial 800-362-5848. That's 800-362-5848. 800-362-5848.
Are you ready for the coming winter? Are you really ready for the diseases that have been cooked up for this year? Flu viruses, staph, even MRSA, or strep. Remember, flu vaccines are made from past year's viruses, not what's current and coming at you. Go to buyyoungliving essential oils.com, where you will find the top standardized therapeutic quality essential oils on the planet. Order and try out the Body and Environment Safe Thieves product line. The antimicrobial essential oil blend, household cleaner, foaming hand soap, spray, throat lozenges, and many more. Use pure therapeutic-grade essential oils because they are safe and many are extremely effective at killing any bacteria, virus, or fungus, and they never become resistant to these oils. At buyyounglivingessentialoils.com, you'll find out what it's really like to get your health back.
Now let's return to the political cesspool and our own bunch of rebels, the political cesspool guys.
So today, I'll be standing right by his
Welcome
side.
Back to the show, everyone. James Edwards and Bill Rowland here with you live this Saturday evening, December 20th, our last show before Christmas. And we're going to be talking more about Christmas and give for your reading of the biblical accounting of the Christmas story. Later on in the program tonight, we're also going to open up the phone line so we can take as many callers as we can a little later on in the show. After this segment, we're going to be joined by our featured guest tonight, Dr. Stephen Baskerville. You're going to enjoy that interview. But before we do any of that, I want to conclude our thoughts on this groundbreaking expose that appeared in the Baltimore Sun just, 2 weeks ago. And to help us make sense of it, we've got several callers on the line. We're going to start with Dan in Houston. Dan, are you there?
Yeah, great show, great show. So I was going to say, all these guys that are immoral and junk, I used to home health care, home health aid, whatever. I know when AIDS first started, some nurse said no one should die like that, which I disagree. I think these guys ought to die like that. But I went to their houses, and you think they're buddy-buddies, they're buddy-buddies, you got the wrong conception. Because once one of these jerks gets AIDS, his buddies won't even call him on the phone and talk to him. That's how terrified they are of getting AIDS from their own buddy-buddies. I just wanted to say, this is not like one big gang of dedicated palsy-wowsy guys out there. These guys, they're not friends at all. They're just sick. They got a reprobate mind, and they don't take, I mean, the guy took care of his home health care. He was so lonesome he couldn't get anybody to talk to him on the telephone, except some of his relatives. They were even scared of him. And so it's awful that when I took care of his VA hospital, I worked at the VA hospital, they said if I'm at his house and he smokes, then don't use a razor blade to shave with. They told the girls not to use a razor blade to shave their legs with. Go to his apartment because you can get AIDS from cigarette smoke. And some of the nurses had died of it at the VA hospital, which, of course, the Centers for Control don't even know. They don't want these scum to be quarantined like they ought to be. But they die a horrifying death. They actually go out of their mind at the very end because they can't eat solid food and have diapers. And then they actually, in their sick mind, go to the bathroom when they can't. I mean, they no solid bowel movement, just liquid. Urination, and they actually pretend they've eaten food when they haven't. If they do eat food, God, you know, God have mercy on them.
Dan, don't mean to cut you off. I want to quickly take another call. Call back in a little later on in the program. We want to try to wrap up this thought on the SPLC before we go to our next break. But we'd love to talk to you in a little bit longer later on in the program. Keith in Indiana.
Hello, hello,
Keith. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Doing well.
I wanted to add something about these crime statistics. First of all, you know, the word Hispanic is a totally made-up word. But did you know that when a Hispanic is the victim of a crime, they're counted as Hispanic, and when they're the perpetrator, they're counted as white?
We did know that. The FBI statistics reflect the fact that Hispanics who commit crimes that are recorded or part of the FBI statistics are categorized as white, whereas if they're victims, they're categorized as non-Hispanic, and therefore, parenthetically, are non-white. So we were aware of that.
That'll skew the numbers tremendously when you consider the real illegal Mexican immigration is really probably at least 40 million now, the way I see it.
Well,
you know,
here's
that's
the
an
thing.
Interesting
here's
little side issue of this whole thing. Of course, you know, you're racist if you quote the Department of Justice, just as Jared Taylor, when it comes to crime statistics. But nevertheless, I didn't mean to interrupt, but I just had to throw that in there. But that's interesting. And, you know, I don't even know if we've ever brought that up on the show before, Bill, how they do it like that.
Well, we have talked about it before. And the thing is that this is especially telling when it comes to what is being characterized as a hate crime, because this dramatically skews the statistics in terms of what are called hate crimes, which are not crimes at all. This is a thought crime, really.
Yeah.
Is when it comes to you know, the statistics on blacks who supposedly are victims of hate crimes by whites, and in fact it's Hispanics and Hispanic gangs who are skewing those statistics, because again they're being categorized as whites, and so it makes the appearance is that whites are committing a significant number of hate crimes against blacks, when in fact it's Hispanics and Hispanic gangs.
Right.
So, yes,
whites are always the
villains.
Just real quick, in Bible law, God always commands his people, Israel, which is a people, a branch of the race of Adam, the chosen people. He said he calls them to be separate from all other people. If other people live in your land, they are to obey your law. We're to put them under subjection to our law. That was commandments of God. We didn't do it. We failed. We made covenants that we shouldn't have done. 13th and 14th Amendment are particularly interesting if you want to study the breach of God's law. So that's all I had to say.
Well, thank you very much. Very good points and very good call. Thanks for calling in tonight from Indiana. Bill, we've got to go to break in 45 seconds. I know we have a caller from Massachusetts, very loyal listener, by the way, who is trying to get on. Dave, if you don't mind, call us back a little later on in the program. We have to go to our guest. We're a little late getting to him as it is. But if you don't mind calling back later on in the show, and this goes for everyone, 1-800-313-9443. That's the number here at RBN. During the second half of tonight's program, we're going to completely open up the floodgates and take as many calls as we can before the sand falls from the hourglass. So we got to go to break here. When we return, we're going to be joined by Dr. Stephen Baskerville, who has an interesting subject matter that he's going to bring to our attention this evening. And while we're in the commercial break, why don't you go to thepoliticalcesspool.org and sign up for our email list, take a look at the blog. A lot of great features there at our official internet headquarters, thepoliticalcesspool.org. We're going to take that break. We'll be back right after this.
Don't go away. There's plenty more of The Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
And people say we monkey around, but we're too busy singing to put anybody down. We're just trying to be friendly. I'll come and watch you sing and play.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Do you have more than $25,000 in credit card debt? Would you like to be out of debt in just 90 days using a system that has proven and guaranteed results for 15 years? I'm John Glia, the author of Winning the Collection Game and founder of Zero Debt in 90 Days. My system has helped tens of thousands of people that realized they had way too much credit card debt or just could not or did not want to continue paying credit card companies.
My wife was really skeptical, but she liked your written guarantees. I'm glad we went with the program. Thanks to your system, we've got a fresh start and are debt-free, and it only took a few months.
I have trained over 80 attorneys in at least 15 states on how to use my system and get their clients out of debt in 90 days. But you don't need an attorney to get the benefits of my proven system. In fact, you can keep your cash. No need to negotiate with creditors. No need to pay legal fees or make a federal case out of your situation. Call my team today at 321-747-0264 or visit johnglia.com and ask for free information on how you can be debt-free in 90 days without making one payment to any creditor. That's 321-747-0264. And johnglia.com.
With financial uncertainty circling the globe due to job losses, decline in the housing market, a climate of corruption, bailouts, currency rigging, and unfair competition, many are once more turning to precious metals as the only hedge against the uncertainty of the future. With the U.S. House conducting hearings on proposals to confiscate workers' personal retirement accounts, including 401ks and IRAs, this is the time to secure your assets. Call Republic Trading Group today, 800-691-7898, before this happens, and find out how easy it is to convert your existing IRA and, in some instances, your 401k plan into real wealth now. Don't let the ravages of hyperinflation caused by the massive increase of fiat currency now flooding world markets affect your retirement account. Call RTG at 800-691-7898 and experience the security and peace of mind that only real gold and silver can offer. That number again is 800-691-7898. Call now.
Can't decide what to give your friends and family this Christmas? Why not give them the most unique gift available by helping them protect their credit card numbers and personal information from thieves? There are now millions of credit cards, debit cards, and passports in circulation that contain an RFID chip. These new cards and passports make transactions a breeze, but introduce a new threat to your personal information. These cards can be read while still in your wallet or purse. So, this Christmas, give your friends and family a pack of secure sleeves from Identity Stronghold. Our radio blocking secure sleeves block the signals needed to read the RFID chip inside their new credit cards and passports, keeping their personal data safe and secure. You can buy them on the web at www.idstronghold.com. That's www.idstronghold.com. Or call toll-free 800-610-2770. 800-610-2770. Order now and get them in time for Christmas. Go to idstronghold.com today.
Welcome back to the Political Cesspool. To get on the show, call toll-free at 1-800-313-9443. And now here's your host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
You know, they say that politics makes strange bedfellows. Here at the Political Cesspool, apparently working in cooperation with the Baltimore Sun, as we have helped to expose the Southern Poverty Law Center here during the first half hour of our program, an accomplishment indeed, and a lot more to come tonight on this, our final broadcast before Christmas. Next week, we're going to be doing our annual year-in-review show. More on that later. But joining us now on the phone is Dr. Stephen Baskerville. He is an assistant professor of political science at Patrick Henry College and past president of the American Coalition for Fathers and Children. He is a fellow at the Howard Center for Family, Religion, and Society and a research fellow at the Independent Institute. Dr. Baskerville holds a Ph.D. from the London School of Economics and for many years taught political science at Howard University. His second book, Taken into Custody, The War Against Fathers, Marriage, and the Family, will be one of the things we're talking to him about tonight. Dr. Baskerville, welcome back to the show. It's been a while since we've had the privilege of talking with you.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
First things first, let's cut to the chase. Great book you have out. Why did you author it, and to whom did you dedicate it?
Well, I dedicated it to my two daughters, first of all, primarily, and to the many other children in this country that have been separated from their fathers or sometimes their mothers. This was a glaring injustice that I discovered some years ago, and I became determined to write about it. I quickly discovered that what's going on in this country under the guise of divorce and child custody is one of the most repressive government machines. I believe it is the most repressive government machine that's ever been created in this country. We have government officials now severing family ties, taking children away from their parents without giving any reason. We have here parents being incarcerated without trial, parents being criminalized, parents being plundered for everything they have by these rapacious divorce courts. Most Americans would be shocked if they knew what is taking place in this country under the name of divorce.
Well, that's something I specifically want to ask a few questions on in a moment or two, the scourge of divorce. But before I do that, I want to ask one more quick question about the construction of this book. If my facts are correct, I understand that two of our friends here, two gentlemen that make frequent appearances on this program, Dr. Paul Craig Roberts and Michael Perutka, helped you out with the book. How did they do so?
Yes, they did. Well, Paul Craig Roberts' work on prosecutorial misconduct has been very helpful and helped illuminate some of the things I came across in the family courts, which are not criminal courts, but they are effectively act like criminal courts. They do incarcerate parents, often without trial, as I mentioned. Michael Perutka also gave me some expert advice, more than not so much legal advice. But yes, he's a helpful attorney who's experienced some of these same phenomena himself and was helpful to me.
Well, let me ask you this, getting now into some more, and that's very interesting. It's always great when great minds can come together and you have cooperation for, whatever project it may be. And I thought the audience would like to know that Roberts and Perutka respectively helped you with this book, which is an important book because it's an issue that I think a lot of people think about, but they don't often hear about. And there's not a lot of conversation about it. But now as we get into a little bit of the content of the book, I want to ask you this. You know, much has been talked about when you talk about the correlation between race and crime or income and crime. What kind of correlation is there between crime and someone being fatherless?
Much higher, in fact. If you look at the statistics, it's much more significant than either race or income. In other words,
that's interesting.
Yeah, it's very clear. There have been studies which control for race and which control for income level, and they find that having a father or not having a father is a much more reliable predictor of delinquency and a host of other problems that beset children. So it is actually crime is not that poverty and income are not that important in race. Fatherlessness is much more important. A poor black child with an intact family is much more likely to succeed in life than a wealthy white child who's from a single-parent home.
Well, you know, I guess popular culture has kind of left an impression in our minds that the mothers are always the ones who are the good parent, if there is, in fact, a split there, and it's always the fathers that leave the family high and dry. Are fathers actually abandoning their children the way it's popularly believed?
No, not in the least. There's absolutely no evidence whatsoever in the scientific data that large numbers of fathers are voluntarily abandoning their children. And in fact, if you look at the documentation that takes place in the divorce courts and in the surveys that have been studied of divorce, it's quite clear that mothers are overwhelmingly the ones that are breaking up marriages and in some cases abandoning their families. There is no evidence whatsoever. There is a massive government propaganda machine in this country which is vilifying fathers and claims that fathers are abandoning their children. There's absolutely no evidence for this whatsoever.
Well, I want to ask you one more question, and then I want to turn it over to my co-host, Bill Rowland, who undoubtedly has a few things he wants to ask you about. But you were talking about this war on the father, so to speak, or the war on man. Where does the principal assault on the family come from today, the principal assault on man, and why does it occur?
Well, it's primarily this huge machinery that is developed in this country to basically administer the lives of children. And it's not limited to divorced families, but this is the most egregious, the most outrageous examples do take place in the divorce courts and in the social services bureaucracies that are ancillary to these courts. And I'm speaking here of the child protective services, of the government machinery dealing with so-called domestic violence, and above all the machinery that deals with child support enforcement. All of these are basically mechanisms for separating fathers from their children. Either whether it's by false accusations of domestic violence or false accusations of child abuse or by simply confiscating children in divorce proceedings, or in many cases of plundering fathers through so-called child support. The purpose of all of this is predicated on the removal of children from their fathers. And so you have this vast army of officials, bureaucratic officials, who have a vested interest in separating as many children from their fathers as possible.
Well, I have to admit a lot to you, Dr. Baskerville. I said I was going to ask one more question and turn over to Bill, but I'm going to be selfish and ask you one more and then turn it over to Bill. Because this is a pretty interesting topic for me. It's loosely relative to that which we talk about with Dr. F. Roger Devlin when he comes on. I want to ask you about this, though, talking about divorces, because I think there's a popular misconception there as well. Are most divorces initiated by women or the men?
That's a good question. No, divorces are overwhelmingly initiated by women, especially when children are involved. And it's not because of violence or infidelity or other grounds, recognized grounds. Most divorces are initiated by the woman and usually without any recognized grounds. In other words, simply for reasons, nebulous reasons like, you know, a bad relationship or growing apart or insufficient love or something like that.
Bill, what do you make of all this?
Well, divorce is driven largely by the feminist industry. If you look back as early as the 1940s, feminist groups, along with bar associations, were drafting the no-fault divorce legislation, which allows women to divorce basically for any reason or no reason. Not only that, but to take the children with them. In other words, a mother can simply divorce at her own whim and expect to take the children with her, take the children away from their father without the father having done anything wrong. Nowadays, since the 1980s, she's also able, after that, to claim child support. In other words, she can force him to pay for the stealing of his own children. So a father who's sitting in his own home, minding his own business, if his wife decides to divorce, she gets the children, she usually gets the family home, and she gets a very large portion of his income, which is collected at gunpoint if necessary, and for which he will be jailed without trial if he fails to pay, even if it amounts to two-thirds or more of his income.
Dr. Baskerville, what you've just described has actually been experienced by a member of my own family. And let me say that one of the worst court systems involving fathers and divorce is in Florida. It's absolutely abominable place to get a divorce and have to fight for the custody of your children. But just what you described is exactly what has happened to a very close member of my family. And he experienced this, that his wife sought divorce from him, and when he got into divorce court, he suddenly found that she had custody of their son. Then that she would be taking a considerable portion of his income, even though she made approximately three times the amount of money that he made. And that not only were his visitations limited in terms of his time that he gets with his own son, but she has virtual veto authority over those visitations. If she decides that he doesn't get his son for the summer, then he doesn't get his son, regardless of what the court says. So, you know, this leads to my question is, besides Florida, which I know is a terrible state for a man to go through a divorce and to fight for the custody of his children, what are the worst states as far as child custody and the abuse of fathers, which is what it amounts to when it comes to a divorce and children?
I think that Dr. Baskerville refers to this phenomenon as judicial kidnapping, but Dr. Baskerville, take it away.
That's correct. That is the term I use in the book. I'm not surprised that your friend has experienced this. I would venture to guess that virtually every American knows somebody, a friend or a relative, who's been through this. This touches virtually every family in America. Unfortunately, the problem is they all think it's unique. People do not realize that they are not alone. This is touching millions and millions of American families. And everyone thinks that they're unique or that this is some anomaly or that they got some bad judge. And they're not connected with others who have been through this. If Americans knew how many millions of people are going through this, usually in isolation, there would be an uprising. And so they are the courts are devoted to making people think that there's something unusual about this. And this is why it's very important that we raise political awareness of this and make people aware that this is not just a personal issue. This is a public policy issue that must be addressed. I don't think there are any states that are good. There's a few states where we don't hear about as many horror stories as others. But in virtually every state, and I would venture to say every large state in this country, This is similar to what goes on in Florida, and I've heard plenty of stories out of Florida. But there are other states that are equally bad. This is largely governed by uniform codes, the no-fault divorce laws, the child support laws, the domestic violence statutes, the child protective services. All of these are federally funded, and they tend to be uniform from one state to another. So it's federally driven, and it's all through the country. There's nowhere you can run away from it.
Well, let me ask you this follow-up question to that, because I think it's obviously in close relation. What is automatic maternal custody, and how often does it occur?
Well, it occurs roughly 85 to 90% of the time, although the exceptions prove the rule, because there are cases where fathers who know the system, who know how to play it, if they're attorneys or judges or they're inside the judiciary, fathers can initiate this and sometimes inflict it upon mothers. So, and it's not because the courts love fathers or because they love mothers. It's who knows how to play the system. And it's usually mothers because the feminists are largely in control of the bar association. So it has very little to do with sexism, or it has to do with money and power. And this is simply the father usually earns the income. It's usually the father that is plundered by these courts.
One more question, then I want to toss it back over to Bill, and then we're going to have to go to a commercial break. I think this is probably for lack of a better word, a self-explanatory question, almost a rhetorical question, but I'd like to get your input on it since we are on the topic. But how do, and in what ways do these custody fights harm children?
Well, they tear children apart. Any child will tell you that the divorce is the most horrible experience they can imagine. It's, in many ways, psychologically, it's worse than the death of a parent. A death of a parent is a natural phenomenon, and children can get over it with love and religion and the proper treatment by the other parent. But in this case, the parents, or one of the parents at least, usually vilifies the other, or they vilify each other. It tears the child's world apart. We know, as mentioned earlier, that the single biggest predictor of deviant behavior, delinquency, psychological problems in children is not having a father and coming from a broken home. So this is a terribly traumatic experience for children. And in fact, these psychological problems that children have, they do not experience this with the death of a parent. But they do experience it with divorce. So it tears a child's world apart. Any child will tell you that they do not feel loved when they're caught in the middle of these battles.
Well, and I ask that question because I just want to impress it upon the minds of our listeners. And, you know, we have, tens of thousands of people that listen to this program, and perhaps they're going through a situation like this. I am obviously a paleo-conservative and a cultural conservative, and I believe in the integrity of the family unit, and it's certainly the deconstruction of our families is certainly one of the many reasons that we find ourselves in this political morass that we're in right now. But, Bill, we got about a minute and a half before break. I want to toss it over to you for one more quick comment.
Dr. Baskerville, looking at various studies, is there any long-term information that is long-term research as far as the effect of divorce generation after generation on a family? For instance, a child who's a victim of a hostile divorce raises children, and then, you know, does the divorce rate repeat itself among these children? And also, we're most of us that listen to this show, most of the people who listen to the show are aware that now upwards of 90% of all black children are born out of wedlock, and now almost a third of all white children are born out of wedlock. Has the divorce rate had an effect on those statistics as well?
Oh, yes. First of all, yes, it does propagate itself across the generations. The children of divorce are much more likely themselves to divorce, and I can't give you the precise figures, but that's been shown time and again. Secondly, yes, this has been going on in the African-American community and other low-income communities for many decades now. But the fastest growing rate of fatherlessness today is in the middle class. It is spreading to the middle class, white and all races, families. So it is no longer a phenomenon of the inner cities or the Indian reservations as it was several decades ago. It is now growing in the white middle class as well.
That being said, Dr. Baskerville, just sit tight for a moment. We got to go to a commercial break. We're going to continue on. Our featured guest this evening is, of course, Dr. Stephen Baskerville. His second book is the one we're talking about tonight, Taken into Custody, The War Against Fathers marriage, and the family. As you know, we pride ourselves on covering all of the issues of the political spectrum here in the Political Cesspool. I'm going to untie my tongue before this show's over, I promise you. We're going to talk more about it when we return this evening. A lot more to come. We are just, we're not even done with our first hour yet, ladies and gentlemen. We still got two more to come, and it's chock full of information that you're not going to hear anywhere else but this award-winning program broadcast on RBN. So, and keep in mind also, we're going to open up those phone lines for you a little later on. We want to hear from you on this, our Christmas special. James Edwards, Bill Rowland, and guest Stephen Baskerville will return right after these words from our sponsor.
Don't go away. There's plenty more of the Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
That's just a little bit more than the law of the land.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Go to drinkjujube.com. That's drinkjujube.com, and find out what two dangers you really do face today and how drinking the juice of the jujube fruit protects you against both. The jujube fruit has been used in Chinese medicine for almost 4,000 years. At drinkjujube.com, find out why thousands of people, including football star John Elway, featured there in a CBS TV interview, are drinking every day the energizing juice of the powerful, concentrated, free radical-fighting nutritional drink of jujube, plus seven other highly acclaimed fruits and berries, 12 essential vitamins, and 68 minerals, all in highly absorbable, bio-ready, convenient one-ounce servings. In today's fast-paced, stressful, toxin-filled environments, you need the extra edge to stay that cut above. DrinkJujube.com.
Do you have more than $25,000 in credit card debt? Would you like to be out of debt in just 90 days using a system that has proven and guaranteed results for 15 years? I'm John Glia, the author of Winning the Collection Game and founder of Zero Debt in 90 Days. My system has helped tens of thousands of people that realized they had way too much credit card debt or just could not or did not want to continue paying credit card companies.
My wife was really skeptical, but she liked your written guarantees. I'm glad we went with the program. Thanks to your system, we've got a fresh start and are debt-free, and it only took a few months.
I have trained over 80 attorneys in at least 15 states on how to use my system and get their clients out of debt in 90 days. But you don't need an attorney to get the benefits of my proven system. In fact, you can keep your cash. No need to negotiate with creditors. No need to pay legal fees or make a federal case out of your situation. Call my team today at 321-747-0264 or visit johngalea.com and ask for free information on how you can be debt-free in 90 days without making one payment to any creditor. That's 321-747-0264 and johngalia.com.
And now let's return to the Political Cesspool.
Welcome back, everyone, to the program, the Political Cesspool. James Edwards, along with Bill Rowland tonight, continuing on with Dr. Stephen Baskerville. Dr. Baskerville, I want to ask you a very simple question. You know, what was it about this? Our people face a lot of problems, a lot of problems. It seems as though we're fighting a war on all fronts right now. What was it about this specific issue that you felt really deserved your full attention? What made it? What was it about this issue that led you to embrace it as your signature issue?
Well, there's such a gap between what's going on and what people realize. We hear a lot of cliches about the decline of the family, and it's true. It is decline. It's a very serious problem. Unfortunately, even the people who claim to be, who are very sincere family advocates, they tend to dwell on issues of culture and things like pornography and so forth, and video games and popular culture and the things that do have a detrimental effect on the family. But it is not well known that government officials have the power to actively tear families apart, even against the wishes of the family members themselves. We hear these myths, these hoaxes, really, about deadbeat dads. A deadbeat dad is typically a father whose children have been taken away from him and who cannot pay the extortionate child support. And so they claim he's abandoned his children because he's unable to pay two-thirds or three-quarters or more of his income. And so he's jailed without trial. We hear about all this domestic violence against women. There's absolutely no evidence of this whatsoever. It is a hoax. It is almost all of it perpetrated by the divorce courts, where men are hauled into these courts and flagrantly false accusations which not a shred of evidence exists for them, accusations which everyone in the courtroom knows they are false, and they are patently false, yet these men are hauled away in handcuffs and kept away from their children. We hear all about all this child abuse, and in many cases this too is based on false accusations. Most child abuse in this country takes place in the homes of single mothers. Fathers are responsible, natural biological fathers are responsible for a minuscule amount of child abuse.
In other words, you would never, ever have thought that. You know,
it is striking. The feminists have succeeded in the most outrageous mendacity. The most outrageous untruths are perpetrated by the feminist lobby over things like domestic violence and child abuse. It is exactly the opposite. It is once the father is removed from the home that it becomes a dangerous environment for the child.
Well, this is a short segment, Dr. Baskerville. I want to try to work in one more question before we go to our next break, if you don't mind answering it rather quickly. How do these courts use the children, because you've written about this, use the children as hostages to control the political and even religious expressions of the adults?
Well, once a divorce is filed, regardless of whether there's any grounds or any reason for it, the children immediately become wards of the state. Immediately. They pass into the power of the state. As soon as one spouse files a divorce against the other, even if there's no grounds, even if the other spouse is completely legally unimpeachable, the children immediately pass into the control of government officials. The judges.
Just sit tight, Dr. Baskerville. Do not mean to cut you off, but we got to go to a hard break. We're going to pick up right there when we return at the top of the second hour here on tonight's broadcast of the Political Cesspool Radio Program. Don't go anywhere, ladies and gentlemen. The best still to come this evening.
Don't go away. Hour number two of tonight's installment of the Political Cesspool comes your way right after these messages.
Think of faces you're seeing.